In the name of the living God. Amen. Please be seated. So we're now officially in the season of Advent. There's 4 weeks before Christmas, and as you all know, it's not about baby Jesus, it's about adult Jesus. Adult Jesus who will come back for his people, resurrected Jesus who will come back to gather all of his people back to himself. All of the scriptures for the next few weeks is going to focus on people like John the Baptist, Mary, and the coming of the Lord. And so this all these scriptures point to us for a season of expectation and preparation. I know you've all heard this before, but expectation and preparation are a big part of why Advent exists. It's a creation of the church to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. And also, when we come to Christmas, then we've had a sense of the continuity of time. Jesus came incarnate, Jesus will come incarnate, and these seasons are paired together. But I really want to talk about for the next few weeks kind of why we do what we do. In the kind of the spirit of expectation and preparation, I think that the faithful do well when we gather. That if you want to prepare for the coming of the Lord, actually coming to church is a really big part of that because we get to be with one another. So often, I think we make the mistake that our spiritual lives are up to us. That if we pray harder, or we work harder, or we do more things for Christianity, for Jesus, for the church, somehow that's going to make us better. But I have come to believe that we get better by gathering. We get better when we are in fellowship with one another. And so I want to talk about the parts of worship. So in the next few weeks, we're going to do something different. I want to talk about preaching. I want to talk about worship, service, and even fellowship, and how snacks are a really important part of what it means to be a Christian. That's for week three. Week four, Deacon Mary will tell you some very personal stories about why she does what she does. Why does she serve? Why does she even pursue the diaconate? And what are the ministries that are close to her heart? To start this out for this week, I want to talk about preaching. It's something near and dear to my heart. It's something that most priests are expected to do. Very few get out of that obligation, whether they want to or not. And I want to tell you a little bit about how I got to where I am and why I think preaching is so incredibly important. Not because it's a great event or it is spectacular or it looks really good on TV, but because preaching is fundamental to the experience of faith in the church. It was a big part of what Jesus did. If you think about it, a lot of his miracles are surrounded by preaching events, and it's really important for the faithful. Now, 20 centuries later, we have not given up on preaching. The person who stands up and says something that they see about what God is doing in the lives of the community has not died out these many centuries later. And I want to talk about why that is. So, but first, I want to start in the beginning. I became a preacher because I wanted you all to think I was awesome. Became a preacher because I wanted people to be impressed by me. Or at least that was part of the bad side of things. I had a call to ministry. I had a call by God on my life. I had a call to serve his church. But I thought, when I get up and preach, I'm going to have people crying. And I'm going to have people inspired. And I'm going to have people just falling out of their seats with inspiration. Now, 10 years into it, I'm just thinking that I'm just glad to get up here, and if I make it out of the pulpit in one piece, I've done a good job. I think preaching, at its core, is meant to inspire the faithful and not to inspire an admiration of the preacher. Now, we do this all the time. Oh, my preacher is amazing, or this preacher said this, or this preacher said that, and those are all wonderful. I mean, bad sermons are just bad sermons. But really good sermons are the ones that inspire the faithful to look to God in Jesus and not to the preacher and how awesome he or she spoke. Preaching is fundamentally a pointing kind of job. I'm pointing to the cross. I'm pointing to the resurrected Christ so that you then may leave and go inspired to do the same. St. Francis said, "You must preach the gospel at all times and in all places, and when necessary, you must use words." If I've done my job well, you will leave this place living into St. Francis's edict. You will become the preachers of the gospel in the world around us because your lives will be filled with joy, your lives will be filled with inspiration, your lives will be filled in such a way that people will go, "That's amazing. I don't know what they're drinking or what they're eating, but I like it." And that's what I think the goal of preaching is about. So I became a preacher because I wanted you all to be impressed with me. And I'm staying a preacher because it is a sacred responsibility. You know, I'm going to give you some really bad sermons in the time I'm here. I'm going to give you some really great sermons in the time I'm here. But fundamentally, it's my job to grab a hold of the Holy Spirit's ankle as best I can, wrestle the Holy Spirit to the ground and say, "Inspire me!" And sometimes the Holy Spirit will, and sometimes the Holy Spirit won't. But my job is week in and week out, Deacon Mary's job, and every preacher who you've ever encountered, our fundamental work is to encounter the Scriptures in prayer and then offer that to you on Sunday. And then your job is to really lean into that. Because I'll tell you, I've had some Sundays where I thought, man, I've got the best sermon ever. You're going to be weeping. It's going to be so good. And then it's just like crickets. And then sometimes I think, in this sermon I've got, man, I just barely got to Sunday. It's going to stink. And then I get here, and because of your response and because of your engagement, it becomes one of the better sermons that I've preached. Because I think preaching is a mystery. Preaching is not about my individual effort. It's about the community of the faithful pressing into the Scriptures, pressing into their lives, and then saying, we want some more of that. So what I think that preaching is fundamentally about is about transferring energy to one another. And then when you all nod and you all are looking at me, you make me a better preacher. If you've got the kind of like the count, if you count the ceiling tiles while I'm preaching, I'm probably not going to be as good a preacher as if you actually look at me. I mean, this may sound silly to ask for, but there's about three people in every congregation, and they are just... they're looking at me and they're focusing on me and they're either going, yeah, I'm right there with you, or they look like they've sucked on lemons. And both of them I appreciate because I know that you're at least tracking with me. Last Sunday, right after church, last Sunday, I did a baptism for Bodhi Fatinikun. And Bodhi is this little boy who's Toyin Agbola's grandson, if you've met her before. So Toyin's grandson was baptized. They couldn't do it during the church. So we had about 40 or 50 people who all sat right along this aisle. We did the baptism right here, and I had like a three-minute sermon prepared. I was thinking, okay, I kind of have a standard baptism sermon, right? You know, every preacher has this sort of the standard sermon. So if I ever get called to preach in some random place, I've got a sermon that I'm going to preach, and it's going to sound exactly like the sermon I preached the last time I got called to preach at a random place. But this baptism is here, and I'm talking about baptism, and they're nodding and they're amening, and I'm feeling like I'm preaching up a storm because they responded in such a way that inspired me to be a better preacher. So this is what I'm asking of you, not for ascension's sake, but for the whole body of Christ's. That if you want your preachers to be better, lean into them. If you don't have to tell them what you thought about it, but just your engagement of the sermon will change the preaching experience that the faithful encounter. If you hate something the preacher is saying, I want you to give them the biggest stinky eye you've ever given them. Right? Because they'll follow, they'll be like, oh man, that's I'm touching on a nerve over there. And then they'll get to decide, is this what the Spirit is calling me to do? About 9 years ago was my first year of preaching, and I'm feeling like I'm doing really good, and a guy named Eric Zapp. Eric is in the back corner. I mean, he's like all the way over, as far back. You know, he's a standard Episcopalian, right? You know, the standard Episcopalian likes to kind of hover along the back walls. There can be a church of seats 800 people, and there are 200 people only in the church, and all 200 of them are in the back 10 rows. You're not alone. And you're not particularly creative, because that's what every Episcopalian I know tries to do. But so Eric is in the far back corner, and I say, do y'all understand what I'm saying? And he's going, no, I do not understand what you are saying. And so I stopped, and I actually asked the congregation, what do you think I'm saying? And they told me what they thought I was saying, and it was exactly not what I was trying to say. And so those are kind of the moments that I cherish. Because this is not about me getting up here, as much as I thought it was when I started, about trying to impress you. It's about us trying to grab a hold of the power of the Holy Spirit so that we may be strengthened to serve His church and His world, and that we leave this place better off than when we started. If I've done that, I don't really care how bad my sermon is. I care the Spirit has taken a hold of your lives. I care that Jesus has empowered you to live a life worthy of the calling of being a Christian and a follower of Jesus. If we can do that, then preaching is pretty darn good. And one of my most favorite sermons came at about 8 years ago, and it's the Candler School of Theology. And this woman, she was so bad. I mean, she didn't talk well. This is how she preached. She sort of did this. She sort of talked into her microphone like this. And she sort of mumbled. And it was awful. I mean, if you put a scorecard of preaching, she did everything wrong. She didn't look at the congregation. She didn't enunciate. She went on far too long. But about, 10 minutes into it, she started talking about the Book of Life. And she started talking about how our names are written in the Book of Life. And she was a country girl, so she was an artist, and she drew little charcoal drawings of cows. And she started talking about the Psalms. And she started talking about the Book of Life. And then she took Proverbs chapter 3 and redid it into a song. And she talked about how we are more precious than diamonds. And she sung to us, person by person that she saw, the names that she could actually remember, and she sung to us our names in this song. And it really undid me. It undid me in such a way that I thought, I'm a better person because I got to sit at this really bad sermon and hear those few words, and be strengthened to be a disciple of Jesus. So I'm never going to out-TED talk a TED talker, maybe once in a while if I'm really lucky, but I am going to strive every single week to be the best preacher I can so that you might be inspired, you might be empowered, you might be able to carry forward the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the light of Jesus might actually shine forward in you. You remember that little baptism with Bodhi, and I was preaching up a storm, and they were amening, and they were nodding me into a better preacher. I think that they became better people because of my sermon. When I handed the light of Christ to Bodhi, and then to his parents, I think they really believed it. I think they really believed that they get to be the light of Christ in the world, and for that I'm grateful. That's, to me, the essence of preaching. So as we move into the next few weeks, next week will be worship. The following week will be snacks, and then Deacon Mary will pull up the caboose with service. Amen.